Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends, and happy Advent to you. We're making our way through this first part of the church year, this season of Advent. We're anticipating the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We look both to celebrate his birth, his incarnation, which we've been talking about last week, we're going to continue to talk about this week, but also looking with one eye toward the incarnation, one eye toward his coming again in glory. The church lives in a posture of being alert, being awake, being sober, being clear-headed, and in our hearts we hear the Holy Spirit stirring. If we're listening to the Holy Spirit, crying out, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus, come Lord Jesus. We anticipate. We're a body of people that is the church. We're a people of hope. How about that? The church is a people of hope. That is the people who live with confidence and trust in God. We have our eyes fixed on the return of the Lord, or our eternal destiny, are being united with him. It's based on a hope which is unshakable because it's based on a fact. It's not a feeling. It's not something that the world tries to stir up, which is positive thinking. Think positive. Or positive thoughts about my future and what I'm going to be doing with my future. It's okay to be positive about things, but Christian hope is different than that. Christian hope is based on a fact. It's based on the fact of God's revelation, that the life, death, resurrection, and ascension into glory of Jesus. It's fundamentally rooted in the resurrection from the dead. St. Augustine reminds us that Christianity is the resurrection of the dead. It's the confidence that that's a possibility. It's real. It's a possibility for every human being, depending upon whether or not we receive the offer of salvation that's given to us in the person of Jesus. So at the beginning of the year, it's great to kind of get our head straight, if you will, to ask ourselves the question, am I aligned with the Lord's call in my life? Do I understand the assignment that he's giving me, the first mission or commission that he's given me as a disciple? So I want to touch on some of that today. Again, passages from the scripture, God's living word that helps us lay hold of the work that the Lord is doing in us. I'm trying here in this Advent season to remind us most about what God has done for us than what we're supposed to do for God. Because if we know what he's done for us, then what we're called to do for God is response in love, and we'll be laying hold of the power and the grace that's needed to accomplish that. Without it, friends, it'll be a burden. It'll weigh us down. It'll be a source of guilt and shame because we're not all in, because we're falling short. We're going to carry it on our own. It's going to feel like the weight of the world upon us rather than the yoke, as we talked about last week. Jesus' words, I want to give you my yoke, he said. My burden is light. And the burden from the Lord, friends, is first receiving the calling from eternity, that is, from his place in glory. And he's saying, above all, friends, whatever I'm calling to, understand in this context, you belong to me. You're now sharing in my glory. I'm united to you. The fundamental things needed for your life, I have accomplished. So I want you to rest in that. And so as I lead you into the assignments I've given you, you're going to be able to go with great confidence, and you're going to know it doesn't depend on you, it depends on the Lord. And it's going to be a place where you can express your love for God and find communion with him in the mission that he's called you to do. It's great. It's fantastic. It's transformational, and it lifts us out of the doldrums. It lifts us out of the weight of discouragement or the weight of shame or whatever it is that holds us down. The battle that we're fighting against the enemy. So I'm going to take a few passages from John 1, first chapter of John. I started there last week at the beginning of the week. By the way, if you didn't have a chance to tune into the programs last week, I think you'd find them encouraging, helpful. Simplest way to do it is go to the App Store and download the Renewal Ministries app onto your phone. You'll have access to the programs whenever it's convenient for you, night or day, to tap into them. And remember us in your prayers, friends, as you do it. Also, download the Ave Maria app and you'll be all set. You'll have all kinds of great programming, not only from the Renewal Ministries team, the videos and the great things that we're producing that I think are really helping people all around the world. We get emails every day from people who are being touched on, I think, nearly every continent around the world. And so thank God for these wavelengths that we're able to get the word of God out into. And thank God that his word is alive in us And friends, you helped make that happen. And I want to thank you for it. And if you have been strengthened by the program, I encourage you to donate to the program to help us get it out to more people. I don't get paid to do this at Ave Maria Radio. I don't work for Ave Maria Radio, but I stand in partnership with them. I'm part of their mission. And whatever you can do to bless Renewal Ministries or bless Ave Maria would be welcomed. Thank you very much. So here's the Gospel of John, chapter 1, the part that I want to read today. He said, verse 6, it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He's talking about John the Baptist. He came for testimony, to bear witness to the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness to the light. It's interesting. Jesus described John, I think, as like a burning lamp, a flame of light and love and prophetic awareness. He was the one that, a voice that cries out in the wilderness. He's fulfilling the mission of Elijah, so to speak, to be able to proclaim the coming of the Lord and to bear witness to the light. Just that phrase. You can ask yourself, why am I here? And you know what? Many people, I want to talk just for a moment to elder brothers and sisters who are tuned into the program today. I mean, I'm an elder statesman myself. I can hardly believe it. I'm 63 years old. That went so fast. But here we are, friends. And you might be 20 years older than I am. You might be more than that. You might feel like, oh man, my best days are behind me. I can't even golf anymore. I can't get out and about the way I used to. And there's hardly anybody around to listen to me anymore, right? Something like that. Well, that is a part of that stage, our stage of life. But guess what? You can still fulfill the assignment the Lord has given to you at this stage in your life. And that is to bear witness to the light. How do you do that? You know, you're living like a prophet, like John. Well, I'm going to live each day with the Lord. Wherever I am, you might be in an assisted living right now where you need help from people. But guess what? You can be a light, even in your dependence. And you can be a light, how? By being a witness to Christ. How do you be a witness to Christ? First, to live with him. Remember what he said, abide in me and you'll bear much fruit. So don't take on a burden that it's all you. What you need to do, and the glory of all of this, is you live each day in your heart with the Lord. Talk to him. Listen to him. Listen to his word. Keep committing it to memory. Telling him what's in your heart. Give him thanks. Giving him your burdens and your sorrows. And receiving from him the hope he wants to give you. The tender love he wants to express to you. The friendship that he's totally committed to. The plans that he has for your life, right? And you live with him. That's called abiding in him and remembering his promises. Live as if he's there because he is there. Live in a relationship with him. He's not limited by time and space. He's not limited by how much energy we have or we don't have. But you can be with him and then receive the promises that he's given. I'm with you always to the end of the age. I've given you my Holy Spirit that'll give you words to speak, that'll help you, that'll strengthen you. This is a slight more momentary affliction, which is giving way to an eternal weight of glory beyond compare. So give that some thought. Internalize that. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you see it, to help you live in it, and then to follow him in the little ways he's guiding you right where you are. Love those who he brings into your life, even if it's only a few people. Your life has meaning, and you're called to be a witness to the light that is Christ. And you can do that till your last breath. The reading goes on. Verse 9, the true light that enlightens every man and woman was coming into the world. That's Jesus, right? The true light. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world knew him not. How's that? Isn't that true even in our time? I mean, all things were made through him. All things were made for him. He came into the world and the world did not recognize him. And the world didn't want to recognize him. There's a fallen dimension of the world in the biblical sense, this good creation that God has given to us. There's a power in this world that's fallen and that resists the kingship of Christ and God's plan and purpose for all of us. So they didn't recognize him, yet the world knew him not. Friends, we need to bear witness to the light because we do know him. By his mercy, we know him. And the Lord wants everyone to know him. So ask the Lord how you can help make him known. Verse 11, John 1:11. He came to his own home, and his own people received him not. How about that? He'll say later, a prophet's not welcomed in his homeland. But verse 12, he says, but to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. Chew on that. How about that promise? How about that reality? But to all who received him, what does it mean to receive Jesus? It means to believe in him. It means to welcome his word. It means to trust in him. It means to say yes to his plan for your life, to receive his forgiveness, to receive the Holy Spirit, to keep saying yes to the Holy Spirit's work in you as he's forming you into a saint. He gave power to become children of God. Friends, that's what it's all about. That's why he came. The Son of God came so that you could be a daughter of God or a son of God, whichever you are, a man or a woman. He came that you could enter the family of God. This is his gift. And he wants to give us the grace through the Holy Spirit to help us to see it. Because in this world, we're blinded, a fallen world. We need supernatural help to enter and live in this supernatural reality and to see the new identity we've been given as children of God, a new identity that's given us a personal destiny, a family destiny, to live with God in eternity, in glory, absolute fulfillment and freedom forever. He's going to fulfill every desire that he put in us from the beginning and bring us into a wholeness and a fullness and a grace and a love. And if we believe in that, if we receive it and we accept that identity, now this is where God's superior storyline, his narrative about us begins to unfold. And this is the story we have to live and see and receive, and not the fallen narrative that the enemy has for us, but instead the superior storyline of God. And as we accept his, what he says about us, who we are, what he's done in us, and we receive it in our hearts, we start to live differently in this world. We come into living what he's called us to. Our heart begins to change. Instead of being focused night and day on ourselves, the heart opens, our eyes open, and we begin to see our neighbor differently. Our neighbor's not a threat. This is not a zero-sum game. Doesn't matter where I live or who I am, I begin to see people the way God sees people. And I begin to love people. And the tenderness of God, the tender-hearted mercy of God begins to come alive in us and flow through us. Even right now, if you're listening, you feel like, I can't, I haven't touched, I just am like an old grump. My heart's narrow. I'm mad most of the time. You just say, confess that to the Lord right now. Say, Lord, this is where I am. I believe in you. Accept you, Lord, come and change my heart. Come and fill me with light and love and mercy and grace to love those around me, to even love those who hate me, like you did, Jesus, for your glory. Amen.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.